Okay, when I said this morning, where were we before we were so rudely interrupted by winter? I've studied the lessons for these last 2 weeks, and it's all about praising God and giving Him thanks and glory for everything that He's done for us. And today, the title of the lesson is Holy as I Am Holy. And when you see that it comes from the Old Testament, right away you think, well, that Old Testament, that before Christ, that really doesn't apply to us. But it gives us a good foundation of where we need to be as we're going through our lives, patterning our lives after God, doing what we're supposed to do.
And darling, you can find, if you really look, you can find Jesus at every place.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not far removed, isn't he? Well, John tells us he was there in the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. Father, we thank you for this day, dear Lord. Most of all, we thank you for your word. We would be totally lost without it. And we ask you to open our hearts and open our minds that what we discuss here today and what we talk about, we will apply it to our lives, dear Lord, so that we will be better people. We want our whole goal is to serve you and be found worthy of all of the sacrifices that were made for us. We just ask you to guide us, direct us, and we'll always give you the praise. The lesson is, be holy as I am holy. And it's in five sections. And it's basically telling you, if you do all five of these things, you will be successful. You will be holy as God is. If you show respect or honor, if you care for the poor, if you're honest, if you are just or fair, and if you love your neighbor. All of those five things will equate to holiness because those are all things that God did. And like I said, when we go back to the Old Testament, a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm reading through the Bible and I just finished Exodus, you know, they're still in the desert, but they have set up a tabernacle and they are given a lot of instructions for how to worship, how to sacrifice. The priests are given instructions, and that's carrying through over into Leviticus. But what Leviticus is about, or what our lesson is about today, holy as I am holy, it's got to kind of focus on the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments was the beginning of what God gave to Moses to direct the people and to keep them on the straight and narrow. You know, it's one thing for somebody to tell you to be good and do right unto others, but it's another thing entirely when you understand where that came from. Why is it important to do good? Why is it important to be kind unto others? And that's what God is trying to teach us, because that in itself is where holiness comes from. I think probably the church that does the most about holiness would be the Catholic Church, because of all of the priests and the cardinals and bishops, cardinals. They are all considered to be holy men. And the reason they are considered to be holy men is because of the path that they direct their lives on. And he's telling us that you don't have to be a priest to do this. You don't have to be a bishop to do this or a cardinal. Anyone can be holy if you follow God's law and do what he asks you to do. So, does anybody know what the first commandment is?
Remember the
second. No, the first one. Kayla's got it. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then the second one?
Thou shalt not worship
graven image. No idols. So they'll have no gods before me. No idols. What's the third one?
That's the second.
Not to take God's name.
Do not take God's name in vain. Those are three at the top of the list. No gods before me. No idols. Don't take my name in vain. So he's putting himself, God is putting himself at the top of the list, saying, all of the rest of this stuff hinges on whether you get these three right. Right? That's what he's telling us. These are the three at the top of the list. So, if somebody will read just Leviticus 19, 1 and 2, the first two verses.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation.
Okay, he spoke unto Moses. Where did he generally have Moses go when he was ready to speak to him?
On a mountain.
Up on a mountain. He had him go up high, away from all of the other people, so it was just a one-on-one, and God would speak to him. And why did he tell him it was important to speak to all of the congregation? Because these statutes apply to everybody, just not your priest, just not your leaders. They apply to everybody. So he says, I want you to speak this to all of the children of Israel.
And not only that, if he does it as a group, they all hear the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if he did it individually to them...
Well, did you ever go to a party when they started this little gossip thing?
Oh.
They'd start it on one end and see what it was like by the time it got to the other end, and generally it was off.
We used to do that downstairs at Sunday school.
Okay.
To teach the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. So speak to them as a group. That way, like Susie says, they all get the same message. And he says, ye shall be holy. That was God's fervent desire for all of the people. Ye shall be holy. Why? The next few words.
For I, the Lord your God.
For I am holy. And I want the same thing for you that is for me. Let's see. God cared about every single person. That's right. That's why he said, I wanted you to do that. These Ten Commandments served as what? It was a guideline. It was like a universal decree of this is the life that you need to lead in order to stay near me. Near me. He wants you to follow him, but he also wants you to stay near him. And sometimes we forget that God is there. The main ones that come to my mind is that footprints in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
God said, well, I was always with you. And he said, no, I see. There was only one set of footprints. He said, yeah, that's when I carried you. And sometimes we tend to forget that when we're at our lowest, there's only one set of footprints, and that's God's. Okay, so that is show respect or honor. If somebody will read the next verse, 3.
Every one of you shall receive his mother and his father, shall revere his...
Why is it important to honor your parents? What commandment was that, Kayla? Honor your father and mother. 5? So, okay, we've had the 3. What was in there at 4?
Remember, it's that day, isn't it?
Don't take God's name in vain. That's another one about God. And then right underneath of that, so we've had the first 4, honor the Lord, don't use any idols, don't take the Lord's name in vain. What was it, Jody? 4? Okay, so it is there, Susie. Remember the Sabbath. Okay, all right. So he says, every man shall fear his mother and his father. Did you fear your parents as you were growing up? Yeah, we pick one, don't we? Yeah, we know which one was the stern one, which one was the pushover, so to speak.
Fear also does not mean to be afraid of.
No, no.
It means to respect.
Healthy. And a healthy respect.
Yeah.
But if you, okay, say you're a parent. If your children honor you, if you honored your parents and you feared your parents, then all likelihood your children are going to behave the same thing. Because those are patterns. We all set patterns. Whatever pattern your parents set is the same one you're going to set. And it's kind of like a trickle-down effect. And, the reason that we honor our parents is because They gave us life. Without them, we wouldn't be here. So we are called to respect them and honor them. They made the choice. And, you know, nowadays, with what we have in our society, with the free access to abortion the way it is really a very monumental decision when parents decide to keep a child.
Oh, yes.
Didn't used to be that way. If you got pregnant, you were going to have a child. And that's how times have changed. And I'm not saying it's a good thing. Definitely not a good thing to... That's another commandment. Thou shalt not kill. That's right. But people are commanded to fear the Lord in different parts of the Bible. With fear comes a sense of awesome obedience. We fear and we obey because we love. So it says honor, and then, okay, keep the after your father and mother, and then it says keep my Sabbath, Susie. I am the Lord your God. So he's telling us after each one of these things, this is what I do, and this is what you should do, and you should do it because I am the Lord your God. I gave you life. I'm giving you a pattern here to follow. Let's see. Honoring our parents and observing our special times, such as the Sabbath, were both ways for people to live holy lives. When he says, I am the Lord your God, that shows up 16 times throughout just this chapter in Leviticus. The thing about these two is they could be broken. These commandments, honor your father and mother, keep my Sabbath, could be broken, and nobody would really know it but you. You're the one that would live with... you're the one that would live with the guilt or the repercussions or whatever. So nobody sees that, but who sees everything?
God.
God sees everything, that's right. Okay, anybody got any questions so far?
Well, I don't have a question, but I do want to make a comment. We, most of us are sitting here in church today
because
either our parents or our grandparents know that's where we need to be. I don't know the number of times that I've turned around and because I was raised to, if I saw somebody, an older person that needed, I did what I could to help.
Well, now here I am, an older person, and I find people, when I'm in public, doing things for me that I'm thinking, well, gee, that was nice, you know, without asking or seeing that I was struggling or anything. They would just do something, and I'm thinking how nice that is. But, yeah, you grow up being taught that way, Susie, it doesn't depart.
Right, and it's nice to be able to come in and see that younger neighbors have done things you could do yourself, but to find it done.
Okay. Read verse number 4.
Turn ye not into idols, nor make to yourselves
more. Okay, now we're reading this, and this is at a point after they had already done one. They had already, boiled or melted down the gold and made a golden calf to worship. So he's telling them, don't turn unto idols. What was the reason that they turned to an idol?
Because Moses was up on the mountain and getting the Ten Commandments written, and they wanted something that they could see to worship.
They felt that they had been forsaken. They felt that they had been forsaken and forgotten. Do you think that's the same thing people do today? Yeah, that's why cults are so attractive to people, because they're offering you something that you're not getting anyplace else. Well, or you could be if you went to church, but they are offering you things that you think are is out of your reach other ways. But he tells us, turn ye not unto idols, because why? I am the Lord your God.
Now Moses had been up there praying and getting the first...
He was, yeah, but he was up there, he was up on the mountain more than once.
Oh, yeah. And every time that he went, their leader had disappeared from him.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Do we do the same thing? We depend on a leader. I, for one, have totally dependent on Pastor Tim to guide us and keep us straight. And the teaching ministry that he does, I think, is just it's just been wonderful for me. I hope everybody feels the same way. Okay, now the next part. So we showed respect for we show respect and honor. The next part of being holy is caring for the poor. So, will somebody read 9 and 10?
When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not eat of your field, nor shall you gather the land for the poor and the stranger. I am...
Okay, who was the most famous gleaner in the Bible?
Ruth.
And why did Ruth have to glean?
Because she was not an Israelite.
No.
She was a Moabitess, and she,
And it was Naomi that sent her to the fields.
Yes.
And she told her, she says, now, see, Naomi and her husband Elimelech had left this country and went to Moab when there was a famine, and their two sons. Well, while they were in Moab, both of the sons took wives, but then the husband died. And then both of the sons died. Naomi says, well, I'm going to go back to the land of my birth. And she told the girls to stay there. You're young. You can find other husbands. You can marry and make lives for yourself. Well, the one daughter did. The one daughter-in-law did. But Ruth refused. She refused to let Naomi take this trip by herself and be on her own. So when they got there, Naomi still had a home. But they had no way to support themselves without a husband or any sons in the family. There was no visible means of support. So she told Ruth to get up and go to this field. And the owner of the field, Boaz, who happened to be a relative of Naomi's, he noticed Ruth and he said, who is this? Because she's worked hard all day, only took a break for a drink of water when everybody else did. And they told him that that was Naomi's daughter-in-law, the Moabitess. So then he said, well, you tell her that she can glean with the people, she can have lunch with my people, and we'll protect her. Tell her to stay in this field, and she'll have our protection. And then, so they fed him. Well, what did Ruth do with her lunch? She didn't eat it all. She took part of it home and gave it to Naomi, saying Naomi had something to eat. But anyway, long story short, Boaz married Ruth, and they were the fathers and mothers of Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of King David. So that little line right there kept the lineage of David and the lineage of the house of God going, that the fact that Boaz married Ruth. And she was not, like Susie said, she was not an Israelite. She was a Moabitess. So as she told Naomi, she said, whether thou go, I will goest. Whether there lodge, I will lodge. Thy God shall be my God, and thy people my people. Ruth made this determination that she was going to stay there. And it worked out pretty well for her, I would say.
And we don't know what happened to Orpah.
She went back.
She went back to her family.
Okay, well, this whole thing with gleaning, is there anything that we can equate that with today?
Food pantries.
Food pantries, okay. With food pantries is the excess from what others, and it's given out to the poor. What else? What else about gleaning? Food pantry, you just give the people the food. With gleaning,
They have to work for it.
They had to work for it. That's right. They had to go out and do the work in order to get the benefits. So that's the difference. That was taking care of the poor. Food pantries is still taking care of the poor, but this was a little different in the fact that you actually had to work for it. They didn't say, okay, go out and get all this extra stuff out of the field and haul it in and give it to these people. Because you tend not to appreciate things as much if it's just given to you as it is. And there are a lot of people that are too proud to go to a food pantry because they feel that they don't deserve it. They would rather be able to work for it than just have it handed to them.
There's another side to that too, darling.
Okay.
We have clients that actually volunteer. They come and help. We have, when we're doing the apples for apple butter, we have some of the clients pour the apples and work on that. We have others that help. And the statement you made that some people feel that they don't deserve it. We have some people that, somebody needs this worse than I do.
Oh.
And then we have people that, well, if you'll deliver it to my house, I'll take it.
There's two sides to every coin, isn't there?
Right.
Yeah.
My simple answer to them is, if I deliver to you, then I have to deliver.
God is very concerned with how people treat one another. That's why when he says care for the poor, what did Jesus tell Judas when Judas got upset because Mary was putting that expensive ointment on his feet? Judas said, well, you should sell that and give the money to the poor. And Jesus said, the poor will always be with you, but I will not. There's always going to be poor people. All right. Okay, the next part of being holy, as God is holy, is to be honest. If somebody will read 11 and 12.
Ye shall not.
Okay, all of these are no-nos, right? Stealing, lying, cheating, they're all out of bounds. What about swearing by my name falsely? What does that mean? If you're telling somebody a story and they look at you like they don't believe you and say, well, I swear to God. Is that swearing falsely? If you're telling the truth?
No, if you're telling the truth.
Okay, okay.
But if you're telling something and it's not the truth.
Right.
And they question and you... And
you throw God's name in there to try to make it a little more credible. How about when do we... What do we know that people do that they take an oath? Put your hand on the Bible and you swear.
Testify.
Trial, you testify. When other do you put your hand on the Bible and swear an oath? When you're being sworn into office.
Uh-huh.
You swear an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, West Virginia, whatever state or municipality it happens to be. But why is that important? Why do they want you to swear on the Bible?
Because God's word is truth.
It is truth. And they realize, people realize how much deception is in the world.
Yeah.
And how much deception. And if they can get you to swear openly on the word of God, they think that's going to hold some weight into your character, right? That you'll be held to a higher standard, so to speak. And that's why it's done. It's also, it builds God up because it says, okay, I believe God will lead me and guide me in the right way, and I swear. This is another thing. I swear to always give him the credit. Like when somebody says, Susie said, when somebody says, well, you didn't have to do that. She said, yeah, my parents would stand me up if I didn't. It's the same thing with God. When you swear something and it may just only be in your mind or your conscience. You know, we're all guided by a conscience. And that's why we do things or do not do things. Because our conscience tells us, leads us in the right way. And the conscience in a believer is directed by the Holy Spirit. If you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, it's always directing you to do right. Now, sometimes we shut it off.
Sometimes we listen to that little imp that's standing on our shoulder.
Yeah, that little guy with the pitchfork and the pointed ears. Yeah, sometimes we do that. But they are telling us that God is telling us we need to be honest in everything, our dealings with everyone. Okay, how about verse 13?
You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired.
Okay, when I read this verse, I thought about, you remember the parable of the guy that had the vineyard? So he goes out first thing in the morning, and there's men standing around there, and he says, will you work in my vineyard today for a denarii? Well, yeah, so they went to work. He goes out about 3 minutes late, 3 hours later. There's more men standing there. Well, will you work in the vineyard? Yeah. So they go to work. He does this like 4 times throughout the day. Well, then when it comes to get time to pay, he tells his manager, start with the ones that came to work last. So the ones that came and only worked like 3 hours, they got a denarii. Well, by the time they got down to the guys that had worked all day, they felt that they had really been cheated. And God said, did you not agree to go to work for a denarii? Well, yeah, that's what they agreed to. But they felt like they had been cheated because whoever came last got the same as who came first. And the moral of the story is, help me.
It doesn't matter what age you accept Christ as your Savior.
Very good, Susie. Thank you. Thanks for bailing me out, because I couldn't figure out where I was going with that. But that's what it is, yes.
And what that is, it's... I'm going to use Dad for an example. I don't know if Dad ever accepted Christ when he was up. I don't know. I know that when I was little, he would bring us to church, but he never stayed. Until the boys... Not the day of the surgery, but a day I was going in the hallway. Oh, your dad's okay.
Okay.
Jimmy Joe had gone and made sure.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter.
No.
The difference is all of us.
Well, and then you have the thief on the cross.
Yes.
That didn't even realize who Christ was until he was hanging beside of him. And God said, or Christ said, this day you will be with me in paradise. So, yeah, it happens. Thank God it happens.
Yeah.
Another thing he does for us. Okay, here he says, defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. What's the thing about robbery? What would you rob from your neighbor? How about moving a fence post? Yeah, just a foot.
How about John Deere tractor?
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
I was a little slow on that one, Jimmy. Yeah, that's right. John Deere tractor. But
gasoline out of a lawnmower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we used to have a neighbor up here, and he came down to my mom's one time, and he asked to borrow something. He says, now, I'll tell you right now, I don't steal from my neighbors. Well, that's good to know. But anyway, you probably all know who that was. But anyway, okay. All right. How about verse 14, still under being honest?
Thou shalt not curse.
Okay, curse the deaf. If you curse the deaf, they don't hear you. They don't know who cursed them. If you put a stumbling block in front of the blind person, they don't know who tripped them up. But he's saying, don't do that. Fear. But shalt fear thy God. I am
God
the Lord.
Knows you did it.
Yeah, God knows you did it. Yeah. It could go unpunished because the victim is not aware of what you did, but the Lord knows what you did. He knows that you're the one that did it. Okay. Now we have be just. So this is fair. Somebody 15 and 16.
Is it my turn, Caleb? You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to...
Why would we tend to be unrighteous in our judgment? Do we favor one group of people over another?
Yes, we do.
Unfortunately, we do. One of those groups would be the poor. Another of those would be the mighty. We may tend to look down on the poor, look up to the mighty, but he's telling us that we're all God's children. We all deserve the same fair judgment. Do not go up and down as a talebearer. Is that a what?
Gossiper.
Yeah, a gossiper among thy people. Okay. Slandering and turning a blind eye when life is at stake is an affront to God's holiness. Okay, the last one. Love your neighbor. 17:18.
Thou shalt not hate thy brother in the...
Okay, this is called what? The golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's what he's telling us here. The Lord God is telling us that kind actions can change one's inner disposition towards others. Don't you feel better when you've done something, when you've issued a kindness or been kind to someone? You reap the benefits. But we cannot hide anything from God. He's aware of all of our actions. He's aware of our attitudes. We may not even have to open our mouth sometimes. He can tell by a look, a shrug of your shoulders, you know. He can always tell.
Or grit of the teeth.
Grit of the teeth. We need the Holy Spirit to work in us to truly transform us into the image of God. Be holy as I am holy. Okay.
There's a deaf guy down there to jail. Seems like every time... Boy, he'll test your Christianity.
I'm sure.
Then I have to tell myself, well, I'll reset.
Yeah.
He can't hear me.
Yeah.
And you gotta get a hold of him. You gotta guide him everywhere.
So he's totally deaf.
Yeah,
Does he do sign language?
Yeah.
But you don't know it, yeah.
No, I figured it out. This means jackal.
Oh.
This means drink.
Okay.
But he's deaf too.
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah. And he's in there for beating her up.
Okay. She didn't hear him coming.
He served like 13 years. One time before for beating her up. Now he's back in her knee.
Maybe he blames her for his deafness.
I don't know. He'll test.
Okay. What do we have next? Is it practical points? Oh, the golden text. What was that? Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy for the Lord your God. I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's what he was speaking to everybody. And I don't know at what period this was. You know, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this was in the beginning, if this was in the middle, if it was close to the end, but it was somewhere during that 40-year period. And people just had to learn to be kind to one another, had to learn to be good to one another. Okay. The Lord cares about the holiness of every individual person, not just leaders. One cannot be holy while mistreating others.
Showing favoritism.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you all a favor. You know, when Butch was still here, and Grady was teaching Sunday school, and I'd get to talking or bringing things up, Butch would punch me, and he'd say, just be still. These people want to leave. So, if I ever talk too much, somebody just punch me and say, that's enough. We've had enough. It's time to go. Oh, I was going to ring the bell.